We'll just read right through the chapter first and then go through it. There are 28 verses in this chapter, and as you know, this is part of the poetry of the Bible. I don't know the all the aspects of poetry, but there happens to be a kind of echo of its theme. Verse 7, verse 14, verse 21, and verse 28. Each giving in their way a reflection of the blessing of the Lord on the house of the righteous. Verse 7 is our key verse. The house of the righteous shall stand. The house of the righteous shall stand. All right. Verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood to deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his sons, of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. And good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false wit that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lean to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent, seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. When we talk about the house of the righteous, what do we mean by the house? What do we mean? A house we can think of in terms of a household. In the East, they used to think in terms of one's posterity, one's descendants. It was all important to a family that that family tree keep going. So we can think of it in terms of one's household, but I think in the spiritual sense, when we're talking about your life, your future, your stability, and so on. However, Jesus chose to speak often in the pictures, just like a house. And so if you just keep your finger in Proverbs 12 and just turn to Matthew 7, we have parable that Jesus gave. I shall start to read it. verse 24 of chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. The fact is, we can start our Christian lives on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our rock. And I used to think, I used to read that parable very, very superficially, brushed it aside. I have my life founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. Therefore, when the storms of life come, I'm safe. I had forgotten that though I founded my life on the rock, Christ Jesus, there's a wall that can have a wind blow through a crack. There's a roof that can have a leak, that the rains can come down, and little bit, many drops can make a flood in the basement. So we need to build our entire life. And so the secret of that word from the Lord is verse 26. It's not just those who have committed their lives to Jesus, even as we have in a new way this morning, and perhaps someone has for the first time in their hearts today, but it's not only those, but those who do. So it's a process of building. The house of the righteous is one that's being continually built and maintained. And who is the righteous? Some of us would read that, the house of the righteous shall stand, and immediately dismiss ourselves. Someone prayed this morning about a sense of inferiority. We don't qualify. We're not the righteous. Indeed, we qualify. Righteous means right before God. We're not right in our own eyes. We're not right before man. And the only way we can be right before God is when we're covered in his righteousness. So wonderful. I can know what a flop I am in keeping one day holy before the Lord, and yet by the mercy of Jesus Christ, because of his blood on Calvary, I am acceptable before God. That's fantastic. If that really grips you, you have to sort of shout your praises. As that song was being sung, did you get the sense I did this morning? Fantastic how that just fit us, didn't it? And the salvation of the Lord is tremendous. The more you see of the times you fail and the times you fall, but the Lord is our God and our rock, and our house shall stand because we're on a rock. Isaiah 33, 5 and 6. What does this mean, that the house shall stand? The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment or justice and righteousness. Let's get off that feeling that we don't fill Zion with righteousness, so therefore we are just hopeless. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has filled Zion with righteousness. Our part is to come here, to confess our sins to God like we have in our hearts this morning, to say, Lord, I'm open to be filled with your righteousness, and to allow him to fill us with his righteousness. That's what he's here for. That's what he wants to do. And then he wants to establish us so that we don't leave here and suddenly go into a stump. It says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. We're to be stable people in these dreadful times. Let's not pretend that we're in anything but terrible times. We really are. But the wisdom and the knowledge of God is going to be our stability and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord, and that word fear means reverence and trust, not fright. That trust in the Lord is his treasure, is our treasure, is our treasure. So we're going away with treasure in our hearts and in our minds. We have been reminded about the basic youth conflicts coming up. One of the treats you get when you have attended a seminar is a birthday card from Bill Gothard himself. And this year, I'm just letting some of you in ahead of time, but I felt, well, you'll be, or perhaps all the more look forward to your card, those of you who will be getting one yet. But he brings out the point of that we're to rejoice in tribulation. The pressures God allowed you and me to experience last year were designed to make us more effective this year. And he talks about how the Lord is putting us through testing time to see that our building is strong and established, so that the rains test our roof and the floods test our foundation and that the winds test our structure. And he gives this parable in Matthew 7 that we've read as his scripture to demonstrate how in temptation or in opposition or in difficulty, the Lord Jesus Christ is putting us through a testing time. If there's a leak, if there's a crack, he's there to establish it, to firm it up, so that we are able to stand. Now, there's a blueprint in Proverbs 12 as to how this house is to be established in order to stand against whatever be the opposition that we have to face. Now we're just going to go through it quite briefly. The first point of the blueprint, and I have 10, is found in verses 1 and 2. And I would say that this is to welcome discipline and favor. None of us have any problem welcoming the favor of the Lord. None of us have. We just love his love gifts. Oh, he's always showering his kindness on us and his mercy, and we just love that. But when it comes to instruction, correction, we just think that comes from the enemy, or it came from so-and-so. And it was not from the Lord. For the Lord is a God of love, and he loves his people. It says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. And I have, in recent years particularly, asked the Lord to give me that kind of meekness that's teachable, that kind of meekness that wants to learn, that kind of meekness that is ready to receive the instruction, the reproof, as well as the blessing. Job put it this way, shall I receive good and not evil at the hand of the Lord? That's not moral evil. That's the evil of circumstances. It's different. God isn't a God of the evil of sin, but he does allow Satan to bring about circumstances that are evil. He does, and he did for Job, and he does today. And so are we not to receive that from the Lord, not sin, but the evil of our circumstances. But the thing to remember is that the master builder who is building our home plans good, so that when we see evil in the circumstances, we are going to look for the good that he has out of it. So he's given us a storm. And what happens? We're getting wet inside. All right, he's wanting to do some collecting some covering, more of his presence, more of the Lord. Verse 3 is the second point. It says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, though he may look pretty prosperous at times, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. There's an establishment, a firm foundation. And that's a great source of security today, isn't it? We know that when we are founded on the rock, Christ Jesus, no matter what the pressures, the winds and the storm, the Lord is going to keep us established. In this household, whether it be the household of your life, the household of your family and your home, the household of a ministry or a house fellowship or a church, whatever it be, a third point that's very important is verse 4. Says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The importance of partnership. That a husband and a wife together, or a partnership, man and woman, whichever household is being discussed. I like this specifically when we know that the husband is the head of the wife, that the wife can be the crown of the head, lifting that head to the Lord. I don't know what that means, but it just pleased me. But the partnership of being together, so that we, as now I'm speaking to us as women, since we're a women's group, that we as women help to build, work in partnership with, agree for, and like Abigail that we discussed 2 weeks ago, even though she had a fool, Nabal, whose name meant fool, as a husband, she herself covered his transgressions, worked in his place when she had to face an enemy head on, but with great wisdom she did it, and rescued her household, you see. So the Lord has said that in his word that you and your house shall be saved, and that the unbelieving partner is sanctified, blessed by the believing partner. So if we're in the position this day, as some of you are, of husbands that are not with you in the Lord, you can still be the crown to your husband, you can still lift up his head to the Lord and ask the Lord to come in as we have this morning, and also be God's sanctifying agent in that place. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just want to share something.
Sure.
It's just, how the richest are the pleased to God, the husband, the son, and just having a really hard time at work. The things just weren't going right for him, and he wasn't feeling well.
Isn't that beautiful? All right. And then in verses 5 and 6, we have the fourth important point. And that is that our thoughts and our words build. I'm just so impressed by that fact that the tongue, and the power of the tongue, is life and death. I often stop to think about that. That we can actually bring forth life by the words that we use and by the thought attitudes we have, or we can break down and utterly destroy. Enormous power in the tongue. And so our thoughts and our words build. And in verse 25 on that same point is the fact that a good word can actually lift up a stooping heart. The kind of word not that just pities and sympathizes, but the kind of word that gives courage to face whatever is the cause of the heaviness. And that word has to be from the Lord, because we haven't got that power. But he can put that in our mouths. The fifth point was demonstrated also by Abigail. That is in verses 8 and verses 16. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. And I just call that good sense. Good, practical sense. A sound wisdom is another expression of it in Proverbs often. Abigail, she used practical wisdom and she saved her household, and the Lord highly honored her. We're going to go on to verse 9, which shows something exactly opposite to the world's way of thinking. You know how it says, be not conformed to this world's way of thinking, but we all are. We can't help it. We just pick it up. We have to consciously be unconformed to this world's way of thinking. The world's way of thinking is to rise up the social ladder and to honor yourself. Now, in the King James, it's put a little more awkwardly. I think I like the RSV here. I'm going to read verse 8 in the RSV, where it says, a man is commended according to his good sense, but one of a perverse man is despised. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong verse there. Verse 9. Better is a man of humble standing who works for himself than one who plays the great man but lacks bread. In other words, the faithful duty of humble service and diligent, humble task is more honoring than one who feel that's beneath their dignity to do the humble thing. I well remember my, I shared before about my last spanking at the age of 14. I was brought up in a household of servants. We had three servants. My house was only five people. I don't today know how on earth they kept busy, but they seemed to. And it was the life pattern of the place where we were. It wasn't anything unusual. It was an eastern country, and this was the more like the picture it was in Solomon's day also. And then when my mother at the age of 14 one day asked me to polish my shoes, I thought that was beneath my dignity to polish shoes. And I was so angry that I thought, I'll teach her to ask me to polish shoes. So I just decided to use up the entire can of polish, which I did. And of course that was very precious. You know, I mean, we felt my mother was an economy-minded lady. So she gave me the rod of the brush and the seat of the burning. And I have never forgotten it, and I've not resented it either. I felt that was really a most important lesson. And I needed it. And I'm thankful to her that she had the courage and guts to give it. It is important that we be humble and that God will bring the honor. All right. And then number 7 is verse 10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beasts, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. It's interesting here that the fact is animals are so little, aren't they? House pets. They seem such little things, but he that is faithful in little is faithful also in much. And so also, he that is kind in little is kind in much. And I know I used to think that cats and dogs were for the birds, and I didn't, the house didn't need them. I made it in human pets, not house pets. And you know, it's been a real learning experience for me to have a family that have sort of brought me into the cat and dog business. And it may sound ridiculous to think, but I have to learn. I learned one day. I discovered, I should say, rather than learned, I discovered how little love I had, really, to spare. I could care less about the cat and the dog, and I haven't to this day got the love that some of my friends have for them. But I really sensed, I realized, God's creatures, those who really are filled with the love of God, it includes loving his creatures. And we cannot really be true to say we don't care about his living world if we and we just love the Lord our God. It's a dishonest comment to make. Real love will extend even to the little ones, to our children also, when they interrupt us. All right, and number 8 in verses 11 and 12. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, and he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. And the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. I would say this is diligence. In order to have our house kept up, we have to be diligent. And being diligent, the Lord blesses. The wicked are always in the state of grasping, but the righteous is always in the privilege of giving. And the 9th point is verses 20 and 21. We're not just to be concerned for our own house, and the Christian life is not one of just self-blessed or even a Christian fellowship, a bless me group. But we're in the position of giving away, sharing, extending. The cup of salvation that the Lord gives us is always to overflow. He gives his blessings without measure. They're always to spill over and bless others. And so here we have in verses 20 and 21, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. In other words, plan and do good for others. I'm going to leave some comments on that verse 21 till the end. But the 10th point of the blueprint of this house is found in verse 17 and 18 and 19, 24 and 27.
Please stop your machine and turn the tape over.
That the master builder who is building our home plans good. So that when we see evil in the circumstances, we are going to look for the good that he has out of it. So he's given us a storm. And what happens? We're getting wet inside. All right, he's wanting to do some correcting, some covering, more of his presence, more of the Lord. Verse 3 is the second point. It says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, though he may look pretty prosperous at times, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. There's an establishment, a firm foundation. And that's a great